I want you to see that the verse that I quoted unto you is a very important verse. And the rock that is spoken of there in that passage of Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about Himself. Now, there are basically some things that I said when I preference. I'm going to preface this series of messages with going through some verses and showing you in the Bible where that it talks about churches and church as being local. I don't believe that we ought to have any misunderstanding about that the Lord's church is a local church, just like Olmsted Baptist Church is a local church. Now, the reason for this is because that, and I don't make any apologies for this, and this is really something that's really concerns me today, is that our church is a Baptist church. And we've never apologized for that. And we now have no need to apologize for it. And therefore, we are not interdenominational and we're not non-denominational. We're not. Now here in this 16th chapter, "Now I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now that is using the institutional sense. When he said that I will build my church, he spoke of it in an institutional sense. In other words, it would be my kind of church. He didn't mean that there'd just be one of them. But he was speaking of the Lord's church as an institution. And so we early see that the Lord, during his public ministry, began his church. He placed in it first the apostles, secondarily teachers, and goes on and gives various other scriptures, various other thoughts there in the 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. There are places where he talks about the church in institutional sense. There was three of them and we used them last Sunday night. Then we got down to some verses of Scripture where that he talks about the church as a local body that assembles in a certain place. The problem, I believe, and I mentioned this to someone, and especially I think I mentioned it to Brother Mendoza Wednesday night, the problem today that many people have is differentiating between the family of God, the kingdom, and the church. And they want to make them one and all the same. And they're not. I used these scriptures last Sunday night. I'm not going to repeat them other than the one I've just repeated, Matthew 16, 18, Matthew 18, 17, Acts 2, 47, Acts 5, 11, Acts 8, 1, Acts 8:3. And now the first three was talking about the Lord's church and as an institution, and the others were talking about the Lord's church as being a local church. Now, if you'll turn with me and you say, "Well, Brother Harvey, why spend so much time doing this?" I believe that this is something today that all Baptist churches ought to be doing. And they ought to be teaching and preaching the truth about the Lord's church. If you'll go now to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And there in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that it's speaking about, you get through with the 8th chapter where Saul made havoc, it says, of the church. That was the church at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad. And you know, there was something that really, I want to just take you back to look at this. The last three words of the first verse of the 8th chapter of Acts. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now look at it. Except the apostles. Now that'll jump up again. And we'll see that again, and there's a tie in with that. So Paul, or Saul at the time he was called, he was later on, after he was saved, he was Paul. Saul of Tarsus made havoc of the church and scattered them abroad. And you'll find that in chapter 9 he continued that on. And then when you get down to the latter part of the ninth chapter, you'll find that when after that God saves him in the first part, and it comes down to the second part, it says in like in verse 24, "But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples," but in other words, "but they were afraid of him." I would have been too. I feel that way about anybody that I don't know. "And believe not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus." Now I want you to notice the next statement in the next verse. "Then had the churches." Now notice that. "Then had the churches." Now these are local churches. Where do you find these churches? "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria." So now there was churches, not only there was only a church at Jerusalem, but there were churches throughout Judea, throughout Galilee and Samaria. And notice, "and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and of the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied." What I want you to see here, and what I believe is brought out here in this verse of Scripture, is the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria were local churches. There is no such thing as a universal, invisible church. And the Bible does not even speak of one. But the Bible either speaks of the Lord's church in the institutional sense, in the local sense, or of course, the church in glory. But then if you'll go on with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, and if you will notice with me here in this portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 11, and if you'll notice, look with me in verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad," look at this, "upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyrus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Now look at verse 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Now, the Lord had a local church at Jerusalem. And this was the church that they first began to go out from. This local church at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. God saw to that. They were scattered abroad. Now, here's what happened. They were just going to all be right there together in just a big bunch. 3,000 at one time was added to them. And then later on, an even greater number than that was added to them. But the Lord intended to have churches in other places besides Jerusalem. And so what he did, he made them missionary. He'd already told them. You know what he told them? But you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. That's Acts 1:8. And they weren't going to do it. But the Lord made missionary Baptists out of them. And how he made missionary Baptists out of them, he brought persecution in their midst, and that scattered them. Now, I realize and know sometimes that we don't always know what's best. Now, we think we do, but through the years, and I know different things has happened in different churches, and to us it was a sad day or a sad event, but God knew what he was doing. And he scattered them, and so what happened is other New Testament Baptist churches of the same kind came up into existence in other areas. And that same thing still happens today. And so then you'll notice the report. And you'll notice this report. Now go with me to the 26th verse. Well, let's just read down to it. When he came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, Barnabas. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Where was this church? It was in Antioch. How did this church come into existence? It came into existence from the work that God did at Jerusalem, scattered them. And you'll notice here, he makes it very clear and very plain. He brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So what had happened was the report came to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and then they came together in the church here at Antioch. But now, anytime that this kind of a thing begins to happen, then the devil always steps in. Now, the devil has crude ways of working. I believe today he's not as open as he was here. I believe today much of his working is through deceit and deceiving people about the truth concerning the Lord's church. But look in the 12th chapter in verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex, now notice, certain of the church. Now, who do you think that he attacked? Who do you think that the devil was after first? Who do you think that he really wanted to destroy and wipe out so that he could weaken the church? What he says. And he killed James. The brother of John with the sword. So he put forth his hand to hurt some of the church. But this church didn't quit and lay down and didn't give up. But this church then began to pray. I've said time and time again that I'd rather have this church praying for me than anybody. For go on and look at these verses 3 through 5. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter. Now, that's not Easter Sunday either. There ain't no such thing as Easter Sunday. That's not Easter Sunday. That's just the Passover. That's the word Passover. That's the only time Easter is mentioned in the Bible, and I'll mention that, and it means Passover. That's what it means. It don't mean what the people call Easter Sunday. I just happened to run across that there here, so I thought I'd better explain that, because somebody would think, you know, it was, they'd have rabbits laying eggs. Okay, now, but anyway, to bring him forth to the people. Now look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So what we have here is, this is the local church here praying. And brother, persecution had come. One had been slain. Another one now was taken and put in prison. And you know the results of that praying, don't you? And you know what took place. And it's like we are many times, and we pray to God, and then we're surprised when God answers our prayer. And that's exactly what happened here. And that sure is a lack of faith, isn't it? And praying on our part. But that was a local church. But now I want you to notice the 13th chapter. And I want you to notice verse 1. And keep in mind now that we're emphasizing from the Word of God, when the word church is used, that it's used in the local sense. It's a body of baptized believers that have been brought together by the Holy Spirit in one location to carry out the commission. Now look at Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. It refers to a local church at Antioch. And it refers to some people that were members in that church. Now look, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaenum, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So what we see here in Acts 13:1, we see here mentions that there was a local church at Antioch. And while I'm here, I just want to give you something on this too. Look at verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now who was it that sent them away? It was the church at Antioch. Who did the church at Antioch send away? They sent away members of that church. Now, I believe that, and I've, through the years, and see, we came along to where we had different groups trying to do mission work and boards and different people trying to do mission work, and the Lord never did give that to boards or conventions or associations. The Lord never did give mission work to them. The Lord gave His mission work to His church, to His churches. And I've through the years, and I've hammered on this, and I reckon everybody thinks I'm a blooming idiot at times, I mean, some people do. I don't mean y'all do, but I mean some people do at times. I don't think about y'all. But I've often said, you know, when they get up, a missionary said, well, I'm a missionary out of so-and-so church. I say, don't say that. Amen, you're a missionary in that church. Amen. You're a member of that church. That's what to say. That's scriptural. Out of means that you're out of it. But you're in it. And I know that that may seem like nitpicking, but it's not. Because it makes it very clear. Now they were in the church. That tells us they were members of that local church. They were members there in that local church. And that tells me that a local church can only send out its members. It can't send out somebody else. But it can only send out its members. That's the only ones that we have any authority over as a church, is the members. Amen. What do we have to do with those who are without? We don't. We don't have no... And of course, all that is, I'm bringing you around to later on, to the knocking you off. And that's just getting it down to local church. Getting it down to the local church authority, to where that it is. And that's why that the more that you study this truth and the more you see this truth and the more you come to love this truth, the more you'll want to practice this truth of local church. Do it in and through the Lord's church for His honor and for His glory. Then go to the 14th chapter and notice with me in the 14th chapter, and this has always been a hard thing, but it's not, I don't think it is at all. But look in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now look at this. And when they had ordained them elders in every church. Someone said, do you believe in the plurality of elders? That's what it says here. That's what it says. I mean, whether I like it or not, that's what it says. I mean, I like it. That's what it says. You know, it says, and had prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, what was he talking about? In the churches where they had gone and established and started someone to carry on the work. Brother Mendoza shared some things with me, and of course, I knew much. He came out of BBF, and I know about BBF. I scrubbed elbows with them several times. That's Bible Baptist Fellowship, And they have the idea of the board thing, of the board, you know, lording over and ruling and controlling and telling churches what they ought to do and where missionaries can go and, you know, and big I's and little U's. And that's what that kind of thing develops into. And he told me some of the experiences, and he said, you know, that was the kind of training we had, and said we got to the place to where that we revolted against it, and said then we came out because of the pressure that some of the older preachers, the American missionaries, were putting on us, and said then you know what we did, said we formed something the same kind, and I said and did the same thing. He said you're right. He said we did like to never seen, like to have never been brought to the truth and seen that wasn't the right way to do it. Did you hear him talk about the missionaries that they have from their church? That they even have a missionary in Italy, in Rome, a member of their church. You know what he's come to? Church truth. He's come to the truth of church truth. And you heard what he said as far as what he believed. And that's exactly what it is. And so here we find is that they appointed, ordained elders for every church where that they'd been. Now look in the 14th chapter, and if you'll notice, verse 24 down through 27. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had reached the word, preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch. Now, why in the world were they going over to Antioch? Think with me. It's their church. They're missionaries of that church. Who are they going to report to? They're going to report to that church. Now look, thence sailed to Antioch. I've always thought, you know, a missionary comes home, his home church ought to be the first church he comes to. He ought not to be out gallivanting around somewhere else. He ought to come to his home church first and report. And if he don't, he don't think much of his home church. Now, that ought have been said a long time ago. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together. Now, you can't gather something universal and visible together. But I tell you what we can do. If something happens during this week and we do not have a scheduled service, I tell you what I can do. By word of mouth and telephone, I can call this church together. Providential hindrance may not allow everyone to be here, but we can form as a nucleus of a church. And when we do, we are a local church that is assembled together. Now they prayed and fasted and sent these missionaries out by the authority of that local church. Now these missionaries, after having done all of this work as a missionary and come back, they come back and the purpose is to their report to that church. Look what it says. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed. Now you're talking about a meeting. How would you like to have sat there? I mean, it'd be sort of hard on us today, but how would you like to have sat there? I sure wouldn't want to eat a big meal like we had, you know, to do this. But said, and when they had rehearsed all that God had done with them, you know, I was amazed. And, you know, I out of courtesy, you know, and it wasn't anything wrong with it. I told Brother Mendoza, Wednesday night, take as long as you wanted to. He's pretty slow. You know, and I mean, I don't care. I'm just saying that he's pretty slow. I said, I've got you all spoiled. 45 minutes and you're usually out of here, you know. And, you know, you can get sort of spoiled of that. You know, you really can. But I thought about this here. And when they were come together and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Now all of this is just for the idea or for the truth of showing you that it is a local New Testament church that assembled here. And brethren, we ought to not think it a small matter when God enables us to assemble together as a church. And what a privilege it is. But then if you'll notice in the 15th chapter and you go on down now, and look at verse 1, 2, and 3. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas, and of course somebody added something new to the gospel there. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation between them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And they wanted to go back up there to the apostles. And this was the church where it all began. And being brought on their way by the church. What's that mean? It means that the church enabled them to go. Not only did the church send them, but the church enabled them to go. And they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And so what you see here again, and in verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. Now I'm just taking time and I want you to see this. This is a local assembly, a local church. And you know, and it didn't necessarily mean they was meeting in a building. Too many times people have gone down the road and said, there's Olmsted Baptist Church. No, here's the building. And it didn't become the church until we assemble. Some got that down right when they call it meeting place. That's one thing they've got down right. Olmsted, I've often thought about it. I didn't want a copycat, but I've often thought about Olmsted Baptist Church meets here. Yeah, that's where they meet. We meet in this building. And that's right in respect. And so in verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with thee. And I realize and know that this is such a tremendous blessing to see this great truth. Now, you'll see, if you'll go on then to the 16th chapter, and if you'll go on to the 5th verse of the 16th chapter, it says this, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. In other words, it's talking about local churches in these various areas where they had been started by the grace of God. Well, I realize and I know that the devil has a heyday in the day in which we live. Now, through the years, Baptist churches used to really stand on this truth. But in the latter years, many have departed from this truth of the church. And they have caused many people to err. And people of error has caused them to err, or has brought them into their error. And I realize that I know. Now, if you go on to the 18th chapter of Acts, and in verse 22, I'm just bringing these out. And it says, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And what you're bringing out here is the truth concerning the Lord's church. Now, look in the 20th chapter with me, and look in verse 17 of the 20th chapter, and it says this, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. Now look at the latter part of that verse. And called the elders of the church. What elders? The elders of the church at Ephesus. The local church here at Ephesus. And I went on, and you know you're going on in this, and there is really a blessing. And the verse that always comes to my mind when I read in this area, and when I think of this, is in that 28th verse. Now look. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now don't miss anything here. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now notice. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the elders at Ephesus. And I tell you what, if there's anybody that's going to be fed, if I'm going to feed anybody, it's going to be Olmsted Baptist Church. Amen. And that's the position that God has called me to. And I realize and know that there's times, and I rejoice in this, and I'm glad to be able to go to conferences and be asked to preach in conferences. I'm glad to be able to go to revival meetings and preach in revival meetings. And I know that people glean from those blessings, and I glean from them too. And the privilege is mine. And the blessing many times is mine. And being able to go over the same truths that I go over with you and have through the years. But I realize that the great responsibility that God has placed upon me is to shepherd this flock and pastor this flock. Amen. And to teach you these great truths. And these great truths come, it's line upon line and precept upon precept. It comes continually teaching and preaching the Word of God. There's one or two others that I want to notice, and this is in the book of Romans. If you'll go with me to Romans, and I want to mention these two before closing. In Romans chapter 16, and there in the 16th chapter of Romans, and in verse 1, if you'll notice with me. Now keep in mind I'm just putting sort of forth a preface before that I begin this series of messages. And in Romans 16 and verse 1, now look, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant, now notice, of the church. Now where is this church? Which is at Cenchrea. And that could be said maybe of some of you all, the servant of the church at Olmsted. But now if you'll go on down to the fourth verse, and you'll notice, who have for my life laid down their own necks. And he's talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So these churches in different areas, these local churches in different areas, knew what was going on. And how they rejoiced. And how they really was blessed. You know, they didn't have the problem that we have. There was the agnostics. There was the very sects. But there wasn't the denominations. There was only the Lord's church. There was only the Lord's church. And what a blessing. And so people today get confused. And you know, here's what happens. Anytime that a Baptist church unionizes with someone that is not a Baptist, they have to compromise what they believe. And I don't know anything that we believe that I'm going to compromise on. Not anything. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. So we'll continue on, the Lord willing, and I know there's many scriptures, but I want us just this to be brought to our attention. I want us to see these things before. I've got several messages I plan to preach, the Lord willing, that'll be outlined as far as concerning the Lord's church. But you know, right there in that third chapter, and you know, like the fifth verse, you know, just look at that fifth verse. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. See, Brother Peter, you can have a church in somebody's house. The work at Kansas City don't have a building out there, and for a long time they met in a house. When I preached out there 15 years ago, or maybe longer than that, we had some great meetings there, and it was in the basement of the house, and they had that house set up, that basement set up, just like this auditorium. And the church met in that house, in their home. And I thought about this. And it was a place, or it was a local assembly. And somebody said, well, people just won't come to a house. They did here. They will if God saves them, and if God adds them to the church, they will. See, we think too many times in humanistic terms rather than thinking and talking the way God works and what God does. So if there's anything that I pray that we can instill by the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of our young people is their loyalty to the Lord's church. God has saved you and added you to this church. And how thankful that we ought to be. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing. If the Lord has spoken to someone today in some way, whether it's to be saved, to be baptized, to be a member of this church, or however it is, then this church invites you to come as we stand and sing. What number, Brother Fred?